Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys, welcome to the Raised Rowdy Podcast. I'm Nikki T.
My name's Kurt Ozon.
And for the second time, our guest, Mr. Sterling Elza.
What's up, boys?
How you doing?
Welcome back.
Pretty good. How are y'all?
Doing
it's
good.
Been a minute.
I know. It's been a while. Last time we were here, you pulled up in the van and parked, and we listened to some tunes after.
Yeah, dude. We were talking about that last night. That was before, I think, the album even came out.
It was.
So we're a long ways from there now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Got album out, deluxe album, more songs on the on the docket, and as well as just recently released. So
yeah, dude.
We'll get into all that. But thanks for being here.
Yeah,
I think,
man,
this is our last one we're recording of the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's go. I feel special.
Yeah. Well, we're happy to have you here, man. I know you're not always in town, but thankful to have you here.
Yeah,
back
dude.
In Nashville. So.
Yeah, I feel like I've been spending a lot of time here lately.
Yeah.
But I love it. I don't mind it at all.
Nah, it's a good city, man. And honestly, like, I talk to people sometimes. I'm like, the way of doing it where you're in town to, like, show face and, you know, write if you want to write or, you know, kind of network, but also being outside of town so you don't have to get involved with all the noise.
Right.
It's actually a good
exactly.
way to do it.
And, like, I feel like everybody hates on Nashville, especially the Texas scene, but you just got to find your crew.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've kind of found my crew now, and I really enjoy being here and writing with those guys and working with them. And
I love that. And honestly, I've kind of used you, like, talking to other people where I'm like, Sterling came to town. I tell him, you know, how, like, that first time you guys played a show for us at, God, it was Old Live Oak. And just watching you guys and your band was so tight. And you're like, literally, we put these guys, like some of these guys together just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the band crushed and was super tight. And we had Cole Barnhill that same night.
Yep.
But I remember telling you, I was like, bro, you guys rock. And then getting to see you at festival stages and just on big tours now is super freaking cool, man.
Yeah, dude. Tailgate was awesome.
Awesome.
I loved that.
Very fun festival.
Yeah.
We're going to be involved with that again this year, so super excited.
I'll see you there,
to be
brother.
Back there. Yeah. Super excited to be back there.
Which one is that?
Bloomington, Illinois.
In Bloomington, yeah.
Yeah.
Been there.
Yeah. And then they have another one that is, I don't know if they're even announcing where it is yet, but there's a second tailgate, not in the same location as it was before.
Really?
But they're like in the works.
Really?
So I don't want to, you know, spoil their surprise, but it's cool. I always talk about those festivals, just like the energy of that festival is super cool.
It's rowdy, dude.
Yeah.
It's really rowdy.
And
those people
fans.
Are, they're in there and they're there for it. You
yes.
know?
Yeah. I remember like this year kind of being like side stage and seeing the people on the front row at the main stage, and you could just tell they were there like all day, and they're just like, you know, a little depleted, but they were screaming every word to the artist.
Yeah. And it's wild how they bounce back and forth from main stage to side stage. Cause we headlined side stage last year.
Yeah.
And I remember I was standing by the van and I was like, there is fucking nobody here. I was like, this is about to be bad. And so I went and hid in my van for like 20 minutes and I come back out. And it was full.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, packed, dude. Mm-hmm.
You were one of the bigger sets that they had over there, too. Like,
really?
In terms of, like, people being over there.
Yeah. That was probably one of our bigger shows last year.
That's so
or,
cool.
I guess, this year.
Yeah. And I love how they do a good job of mixing rock and country, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
That's a natural mix, especially now where the genre is, like, going slash been. But I think they do a really cool job of it. But I mean, I am a side stage guy, you know, just from my early days of going to festivals, just seeing new music, discovering things, or like seeing who's got it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a big part of it now too, with the way music is. And I mean, social media is such a big tool for artists,
right?
But, you know, you could pop on social media and the band's not great yet. You know, you still got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
For real, you know?
That's I know. Hard. I mean, you're absolutely correct. It's just, surprised you said that. It's funny.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, that's how it works. And then it's from there, it's, oh man, this band really makes me want to come back and see him every time I can.
Right. Yeah.
I
you
think
know,
that's a good
anybody can go into a studio and melodyne their way through a song, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But what you can do on stage is what kind of gets me.
Yeah. And you guys have been hitting the road. Like, how many dates do you think you guys played this year?
Man, I've actually kind of been wondering that. I need to go back and count.
Yeah.
feels like a shitload. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we hit it hard this year. Yeah. So, which has been so fun. I mean, I don't do anything else. So the more I'm on the road, the better. You know?
Very true. And it's just reps. It's like, if you're getting paid to do that instead of just like practicing at home, you know, you keep getting better. The band gets tighter.
And I feel like every big show we've played this year, we've ended up having like 3 weeks off before the show, which is just awful. The worst. I hate it. But they've been our best shows. So maybe I need to take some more time off. I don't know.
Sometimes that is true, especially if you have the band like playing enough where they are all comfortable together.
Right.
Little break never hurt anybody.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, we would do like, you know, back in the day, it's like you play like for Nashville acts, like with Luke, the club tour days, we'd play 3 shows a weekend. And then when we started playing stadiums, we'd play 1 show a week. And so it's like, you're not in the rhythm of like, oh, the first show was kind of, and then the last two will be cool. It's just like you have to go out there and do your show and just you get one opportunity, you know. I feel like I'm sound like a rapper or something right now, but like it's weird, man. It's kind of like when you're coming off a big break, you know, it's like, am I rusty? But then muscle memory and adrenaline kicks in and it's just fun.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it too, is like just like anything. I mean, the more you do something, the better you get. And it's not even like you're exactly planning on things to happen. You just, something cool happens and you're like, oh, let's do that again.
Yeah,
you
know? Pretty much. So I feel like that's kind of how we roll.
Yeah.
Oh, that was cool. Let's do it again.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good way to do it too, honestly. It's organic, but then you can replicate it.
Right.
You know? Well, let's talk about the most recent single after when we get back to going over the album, but
yeah,
just dropped a new song with Gio.
Yeah.
How did that come to be?
Man, so we've been talking about doing a song for over a year now, mm-hmm. and it just didn't work. And we have an EP ready to go that we're about to drop and are about to start rolling out. And we decided to push it to next year, and I was like, we've been pretty quiet. We need to put something out. Mm-hmm. And we've been on the road with Gio all year, and I had an instrumental that I wanted to do something with. So I just ran over to Gio's house one night, and I was like, hey, let's do it.
That's sick.
And I think it was literally 3 weeks from when we wrote the song to when we put it out.
That's cool.
So in your writing process, do you usually start with like the track, kind of like the vibe, the guitar hooks sort of thing?
Yeah, I like to, you know, of course, half the time I just sit down with a guitar and write. But if I can get, you know, an instrumental, I guess I'm, again, like you said, kind of like a rapper. Yeah. I like to have it all together, and because I feel like it kind of pulls the emotion out with, you know, more than just an acoustic guitar does. So
do you write on electric?
No.
No, acoustic mainly? Yep. Yeah. Cool, man. I've been thinking about that a lot, too. It's like, what, you know, some people start with the lyric first, some people start with like the, you know, like the guitar parts and the instrumental stuff first. And I think it's like you guys are leaning so much more rock than I would say than like singer songwritery.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that you would start that way.
Right.
And this collab really reminds me of like, especially with the talking at the beginning of the end of the song, it just reminds me of being in the garage.
Yeah, you know? Dude. Yeah. And it's just, I think the biggest thing for us is I wanted to do something really fun. Because, you know, we've had such a good time on the road with mm-hmm. them this year that I feel like the song kind of encapsulates kind of the year that we had. So.
Oh, I love the ending. It's just like you can hear you guys having fun and someone like breaks a dish or something at the end.
Yeah, dude, I felt bad. I was breaking his kitchen glasses in the living room. But it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess it's all right. Maybe we'll make enough money to buy him some new glasses.
Yeah.
Dude, this song's a hooky. It's super hooky, you know. Nah, 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 nah. It kind of reminds me of, like, there's a drum fill in the bridge that reminds me of, like, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Plakun, du plakun, du plakun. Yep. Yep. And so it's just like Weezer. It's like Nirvana. And it's like the Texas shit. It's cool.
Yeah.
And then
Thank you, dude.
And who's producing on it?
So Andrew Bayless did that instrumental.
Cool.
We've been working a lot with him. I've kind of been splitting half and half, Bayless and then my guy, Nate, who plays mm-hmm. guitar for me. So just kind of, you know, do a little bit of both.
We have a Bayless scheduled to come on the pod here soon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Dude, he's a great guy. I love that guy.
He's ruined my life plenty of time with Rumplements.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. Red Door. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's cool, man. I mean, the song, it's like, it feels familiar, you know, especially to me, like, but it's also fresh and fun, and it's cool that you guys collab on. I think it's hooky.
Thanks,
super
dude.
Hooky, yeah.
I appreciate it. It felt like a cool way to end the year, you know, especially after being quiet for a little bit, not putting anything out. That just felt perfect.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And I mean, we're big fans of you, of course, as well as Gio.
Yeah.
So seeing a track that comes out that has both of you guys on it, I'm like, going.
Yeah,
going
man.
Wild.
And like, it's cool for me too, because that whole group, you know, Gio, Dylan Wheeler, Austin Mead, Co., Reed Southall, all those guys, like, that was what I was listening to when I first started writing songs. So it's kind of cool now, you know, we got to do a song with Dylan this year. We got to do a song with Gio this year.
Yep.
We had a song with Treaty.
Yeah.
And just kind of checking boxes for me, really.
So
and,
cool.
You know, people like it too. So that's a bonus.
Yeah. The power of the like collaborations is so meaningful. And it's funny, like when I worked at Big Loud, like I worked on the Hicks Tape project for them. And I wasn't on the music side at all, but it really opened my eyes and saw, oh, when you put three artists together or two artists together, it multiplies the reach that that song has on that platform like Spotify or Apple Music.
Yeah, you know? And, you know, people just love it. And Gavin Rossdale from Bush was talking about at festivals bringing people out on stage.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, we kind of owe that to the fans. You know, none of us would be here without them, so you might as well try to do as many cool things as you can.
Yep.
And I kind of took that, and I would love to do, you know, I'll do a song with anybody.
Yeah.
If it's good, I don't care, you know?
It's cool, too. It's like putting people on, and then people put you on, and then you put them on, too, you know? It's
exactly.
All circle. It's great. And then it's like, in my head, I'm like, it's investing in someone, like, they're like, hey, this kid is great. Hopefully it works, right?
Yeah.
And if it does, then it's going to help me on the back end, too, you know?
Right,
I mean?
Yeah, everybody wins.
Yeah, it's the best. And when it, on a thing like where you were on the road with Gio, I think that's such a cool way to kind of, you know, put a capstone on that and say, like,
yeah,
what a great adventure. And you now when you listen to that track or when you play it, you'll think back to that tour you guys had.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Were y'all playing that live, like in the set?
We so our last full band show of the year was with Gio in Houston, and so we played it the other night.
Sick.
So do you go out with him, or does he come out and sing with you, or?
Yeah, he comes out with us.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Yeah, yep.
That's cool.
And no, it was great. Everybody seemed to love it. And so I was like, all right, then I guess, all right, we'll put it out.
Yeah.
Track slams, bro.
Thanks,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, in my head, it's like very nostalgic because, you know, that grunge rocky, like post grunge thing was when I was young and a kid. So that all, like, kind of filtering back into mainstream music has just been so cool for me.
Yeah.
And it's interesting just hearing all the influences of, like, probably what your parents were listening to or your uncles or whoever.
Yeah, dude, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You know, the first album my dad ever made me listen to was Nevermind by Nirvana. So,
crazy.
And I think you can probably hear that just a
for
little
sure.
bit.
Totally.
But.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the cool part is, like, getting to see stuff circle back around, but it's like, what's the new spin on it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's cool, too. It's so interesting that, like, rock and country are so close, like, neighbors now, where you can kind of cross back and forth on some stuff.
Right. And, man, I've been seeing people bitch about it. It's like, what else you want, man?
Yeah.
You know, like.
If people are bitching, that means it's working.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I've started to figure out.
Yeah.
I was actually talking with a buddy about this yesterday. It was like, when I first started playing with Luke's band, everyone's like, man, he's so great. And then, after a while of him just being huge, and then people were like, well, this song sounds too much like this, or it doesn't sound enough like this, or you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Once people start chirping, that's how you know that it's working.
Yeah. It, I mean, Treaty Oak Revival, great example. Guys don't have a bad song, but, you know, the first 3 years, everybody loved it, and now people are starting to, you know, say stuff about it, and it's just like, try again, brother.
Mm-hmm.
They're winning.
Oh, and that's
oh, totally.
That's the thing. When you're winning, there's going to be people that get mad. That's
yeah.
just life.
Hey, dude, and I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get jealous every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, y'all remember Lucas Jennings, right? He put out that Lie to You song.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the day he put that out, I was just like, oh, damn. That's a good song, man. And, you know, he ended up taking it down, and we ended up cutting it and putting it out. But which was so funny because I was so jealous of that song the whole time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even that, people love that song every night, too, you know.
Yeah, so cool. What do you have on the docket for next year, too?
Bunch of music, dude.
Yeah.
A bunch.
I know you got Toga and Tallboys, of course.
Yeah.
I think I saw another festival date, too, I think.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
I forget which one.
Of
course, the Tailgate and Tallboys one stuck out because I know we're going to be there. You know?
Yeah, exactly, dude. Hold up. I'm trying to think.
Are you guys doing any headlining shows as well?
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So no formal plan on like all of that yet, but I'm sure you'll be rolling it out.
Right, yeah. Kind of end of the year. I know everybody's about to about to leave for the next 3 months. Yep, so.
Yep. And then
Windy City Smokeout.
Yes,
Windy City Chi-town. Smokeout.
Yes, love which, Windy City.
That's been a long time bucket lister of mine. So
very cool festival. Ed Warm, that kind of runs those venues up there, is a great curator of music, and honestly, like in my opinion, one of the longest time supporters of the Texas music scene.
Right, dude. He's had like,
that up there forever.
He does Joe's too, correct? Exactly. And yeah, man. I mean, Joe's was Ragweed's last show.
Crazy.
So that was a while ago. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember seeing Turnpike Troubadours up at Joe's for the first time in 2015.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, American Aquarium opened for them, and I was just like,
oh, man. Yeah.
Great show. But they're always like, even like back then when the Texas scene wasn't as nationally popular, he was always bringing people up from the Texas scene up to Chicago.
That's neat. That's super cool.
Yeah. So Windy City's always had some of that like Texas flavor in it.
Yeah. You know? I think I need to wear a Jordan jersey.
I mean, I'm not sure.
I think that's probably what I'll do.
The goat up there for sure.
Hell yeah.
Well, let's talk about the record too. So I know you put out the extended edition of the record as well.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of your favorite songs from the record since we haven't been on with you since then.
Yeah, dude. My favorite song is probably Nobody Else, mm-hmm. but Lonely with Dylan also kind of takes the first spot for me, you know, just because it's cool for me. Mm-hmm. But no, Nobody Else was cool. It was like, well, let's put steel guitar and, you know, slow it down a little bit and then hit the chorus heavy like we normally do. And no, people love that song. You know, we don't ever play it, really. And people always come up to the merch table mad. So.
That's funny. It's interesting, too. Like, sometimes the songs that you love the most aren't the ones that get the crowd the most going.
Right.
What do you think are some of the moments in your set, like, song-wise, that, like, really, you know, makes the crowd go crazy or, you know, that you see, like, really moving the needle for you on a live show?
Man, they love Next Week.
Yeah.
They love Next Week. And, you know, I love that song, too. Mm-hmm. And that was the last song that I wrote for the record. It almost didn't make it. Because we didn't really have any time, and we threw it in there last second. Thank God. Outside of Next Week, I mean, they love Happy Never After, which is a super fun one for me to play too. So and Midnight Friends, I would say those are kind of the three that, if I had to pick three, those are the three they kind of get after it for.
I love that. Yeah, it's so cool to watch like. You, because dude, I think when we met you before, you were like 20, and
I doubt I was 20. No, yeah. I'm 21 now. Yeah, so 19? It's been a few years. 18, 19, yeah.
Crazy.
It was December actually. Yeah. So I was 18 still.
Crazy. Yep. And then now, I mean, still again, like being 21 this early in your career, just how much you've gotten on the road and reps that you've gotten before a lot of people even freaking. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, I'm super blessed to have a family that was like, yeah, go try it. And, you know, luckily we saw some numbers early that I could be like, hey, I think this stuff's actually kind of working.
Yeah.
And they, along with I, just never looked back. Yeah. You know, it was just kind of, all right, this is what we're going to do now. But no, I don't want to get older. Because, you know, I tell people I'm 21 and they're like, oh, man, you're so young. That's going to go away one day. And I'm not excited for
brother,
that.
You have plenty of time.
I remember when I moved to Nashville and everyone's like, man, you just moved to Nashville. You're like the new kid in town or whatever. And now I'm like, people are like, how long have you been in Nashville? I'm like, 2012. And they're like, damn, what is it like? I was like, well, I moved here. There was no TikTok. And people bought music on iTunes Store.
Yeah.
And crazy. People bought CDs, you know, or whatever.
What have you seen is like, if there has there been any challenges on the road or things that like you've kind of gotten to see and kind of like figure out how to overcome?
Yeah, man, especially with really starting to run everything like a business the last year or so.
Yep.
It's just expensive, dude. I mean, it's so expensive. You know, you go on a support tour making $500 a night. You're spending more than $500 a night, you 100%. Know, a lot more. You know, you got to put all the guys in hotel rooms and
fuel.
Yeah, dude, and food, and it's expensive. Beers. But you know, exactly. that's where
now that you're 21.
Yeah, but no, man, it's expensive, and you know, it's stressful trying to you know make everything work, or you know, you get to Salt Lake City, and they're like, hey, you have no money. It's like. Well, okay, it's the first day of the tour.
What is something the fans can do to support you?
Buy merch. Yeah.
And the bonus is if they go to buy merch, they get to meet you, and they can bitch to you about not playing their favorite song.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if you have a gripe and you got some shit to say.
You have to buy a t-shirt
first. and some stickers, then you could bitch.
Yes, exactly.
And honestly, like I feel like you've had great merch since like the first shows that we saw you at.
Thanks, dude. You know. Yeah, we next year is gonna be a big year for us with merch. Yeah. We're starting to do it right. So.
I love it. I think it's like you've had your vibe from the time I met you and you were 18. And of course it's like developed and changed since then, but
right.
I think that's one of the things that I see often with younger artists, especially like when they're just getting started on the road, is like they don't necessarily have the brand squared away. I feel like you had that more than a lot of kids that were your age at that time.
You know, because before I was good at writing songs or playing guitar or singing or anything else, all that I could do was just try to be cool.
Yeah.
And no, I feel like that helped a lot. You know, and the guys I have on stage, they help a lot too, you know, because, you know, say I'm tired one night. Somehow those guys never ever get tired, and so they're there full force every night. So.
I love that.
You ever have those shows where you're like, oh, fuck, I don't want to go on stage, and then when you do, you're like, fuck yeah.
Yep, yep. Yeah, that usually either a Thursday or a Sunday. That's what those are for me. Yeah. But
where you're like, oh, how's this gonna be?
Yeah.
And then you hit stage and you're like, adrenaline starts rolling.
Yeah, totally.
I love that.
Or it's like the fourth show in a row, and you're like.
I'm about to die.
Yeah.
You're like, I've had too many suicides now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite venues that you've gotten to play recently?
Man, Billy Bob's.
Yeah.
We got to do Billy Bob's with Gio this year, and that was the coolest for me. It was, you know, my dad probably never needs to go to another show ever again. He's good now.
Yeah.
But, no, we've gotten to play a couple of venues that mean a lot to me. You know, Billy Bob's, Green Hall, John T. Floors, and, you know, thinking of, like, legendary Texas venues, we don't have many left, you know. And I'd love to play Kane's Ballroom. That'd be a cool one.
That's a great spot.
Yeah. It's just cool, man.
And the city's cool, too.
Yeah. I like Tulsa.
Yeah.
And, but Wes and I went and saw Turnpike their first night back at Kane's, and I've never seen so many people cry not at a funeral. Wow. It was wild.
That's awesome.
Wild.
I got to see Turnpike, like I said, 2015. Then I saw him.
I hate you for that.
Yeah, I'm so envious.
That's so cool.
You were like four or whatever.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But then I saw them play at Cleveland at the House of Blues, small show.
Yeah.
And then I get to see the tour where they opened up for Miranda before Evan took his hiatus.
Right.
And then I saw him this year also at a pilgrimage. So
yeah,
very fun.
Speaking of House of Blues, I enjoy those. I really like the House of Blues shows.
They sound good.
Yeah,
the barbecue catering for
yeah. They that one in Cleveland, I got to see so many cool shows there because I grew up in Pittsburgh, so
okay, Cleveland's close. That's right. I forgot about that.
And all the rock acts, if they wouldn't come to Pittsburgh, would always come to Cleveland because it's like,
right,
you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Cleveland rocks.
Yeah. So I got to see like Queens of the Stone Age play like their entire first album, man, front to back. Like just lots of cool shows out there. So I have much love for the House of Blues rooms. They all sound good. They're all kind of similar too. So if you have your sound guy, like, knows what they're doing there because they're all pretty similar.
Yeah.
I think that's valuable too, you know?
And I'll tell you, it's funny. They're pretty strict. Yeah. We have had our drummer, Jake, be stuck outside for quite a while. We played, I think it was House of Blues in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Jake never has his fucking pass. Yeah. He never has his pass ever.
Uh-huh.
And at House of Blues, they don't care. They just made him stand there.
They're and, like, call your buddies.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's funny as heck. You got to have that pass. And
I've gotten in trouble with that before, for sure. You? Yeah. So, different tours, if you lose your pass, they have different punishments. Like, with Darius, he had Buddy as his security guard. This guy's just yoked. And if you lost your tour pass, you had to do 100 push-ups to get another one.
God.
And so, like, I never lost my pass, but I just didn't bring it with me one weekend. And so everyone's like, oh, you're fucked, dude. He's going to make you, like, run a 5K or do something. And I was like, hey, buddy, I left my tour pass at home. He's like, oh, dude, got you, brother. No worries. And I was like,
there you go.
But on Darius' tour, on Brantley Gilbert tour, they give you a dumbass pass, which is a huge pass. It's like, about the size of a piece of paper, and you got to wear it around your neck, and it says dumbass pass because this dumbass left their laminate at home or whatever.
That's I love that. Oh, I think I might just get Jake one of those. I think I'll probably just get him one of those.
You should just have him get a tour pass tattoo, and then he's good.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
He's going to hate that.
That's a cool idea for a tattoo. Yeah, I like that idea.
Tour pass tattoo.
That's not bad at all.
I know. Be like, here it is, bud.
Yeah.
Super interesting.
For like 3 months, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you got to get another tour pass tattoo. That'd be funny. The arm is just all tour passes.
That'd be kind of sick, actually.
This just keeps getting better.
Yeah. Damn, bro.
Hey, we're out on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stoll would do this for sure. I just went and got a new tattoo. I just got a little American traditional lady.
Dude, that is blue.
Yeah.
That is bright blue.
Turquoise on it, baby.
That's sick.
Yeah, it's like, it's not of my mom, but it's kind of like a tribute to my mom.
That's neat.
Yeah.
That's real cool.
Yeah. So, Mike Stahl, he was tattooing at Tailgate and Tallboys. Did you see him when you were up there?
I think so.
Yeah, he was like tattooing in that like back room. Yes. That was like by catering.
Yeah. Yep,
so,
yep.
He's done pretty much all my work, except like Tatfish from Will 60 did this one. This
summer, cool. Actually. Yeah. Nice.
At a festival, he was like, you want a tattooed? We're going to do content. I'm like, yes, absolutely.
Man, I've been like, because this past year was our first like real festival season. So I'm still like a little shy to take advantage of everything. Like, I don't think I've ate festival catering once.
Really?
Dude, I'm just scared to go in there. I feel like I don't belong or something. Aww.
You belong way more than I do, dude.
I was like the barbers. If they have barbers.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get my beard turned up. It's a little crazy right now. I was like that.
Honestly, man, I mean, that's the cool part about a festival. It's like, it sucks. You got to like get there and then route dates around it.
Right.
But the best ones have cool stuff that is there, like tattoos or haircuts or, I mean, the catering. Sometimes it's just okay, but it's still free food.
Exactly.
Like you said, it's expensive to tour. So
yeah, it is.
I remember my first like big show I ever played when I was with Janet Kramer. We played Faster Horses in Michigan. It was my first time on a tour bus, like first tour bus gig, and we get to the venue, and I go into catering, and it's like steak and lobster and like carrot cake and stuff, and I was like, is this going to be the rest of my life eating this every single day? And then literally the next day after that, we played like Toby Keith's I Love This Bar, and like catering was like just nachos. I was like, okay, I guess not. And then you're playing like some fair, and it's like Papaw's hamburgers that have been sitting out in the sun all day, you know.
Yep. They made them for you last night.
Yeah, for sure.
They're like, we had to make a lot, so we made them yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah. Honestly, that's part of it, though. It's just like everything's different. It's even interesting, like because Matt's at a lot of festivals now. They have him like emceeing different festivals, like Crossroads 41 in Wisconsin and stuff. So it's interesting. Like, I didn't go to that one with him, but it's interesting. Like, he's like, well, this was cooler than this, but it wasn't as cool as this.
And, yeah,
you know, I imagine that's what your guys' life is like all the time, because you're, instead of it 10 festivals a year, you're at 150 shows a year.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So, is it usually like at the level that you guys are doing, there is some catering for food?
Yeah. Yeah. Usually. Great. Either that or a buyout.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. That's not bad at all.
They take care of us.
Yeah.
We're almost cool.
Yeah.
We're almost cool.
Well, again, like I said, you're definitely cooler than we are, and we get catering, so it's fine. Yeah.
I would argue that point, but whatever you say.
Well, like, I know you're in town. Are you just, like, writing, or what are you doing?
Yeah, we're, you know, like I said a second ago, we got the EP for next year done, ready to roll that out.
Yeah.
And time to write a full-length record now. We'll do it again.
I love that. It's so interesting, too, like, the differences between, like, single rollouts or records and how the streaming services are always changing. Like,
I hate it. It's so stupid.
It's always something different, you know, and you've got to always pay attention to what's current or what's, like, you know, helping the most, you know, bringing the people to it.
You can't really get good at figuring out what's going on. You just have to get lucky.
Yeah.
And just hit the wave at the right time.
Yeah.
Which, it's fun. Yeah. I guess, you know, it's done a lot of great things for a lot of people,
and
there's not a single person that I'll knock down for making it, you know, because
we
would all, you know, be, if we were in that same spot, I don't think a single one of us would be mad, you know, but, no, we've tried our hardest, you know, TikTok's great, we'll do it, but we're going to be on the road playing shows at the very least.
I think that's the thing for me that, like, makes or breaks an artist is, can you get people to love it so much that when you're back, they want to come?
Right. Yeah.
And especially in those opening slots.
Yeah.
Like, when you're opening for someone, that's your audition for when you come back to that room for a headlining show, they will come back and see you.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's so important. And as the music industry changes and as you see AI artists on the charts and, you know, like, it's, you can get a demo done in 10 minutes on Suno.
Right.
You know, as that all changes, the thing that stays the same is live show.
Yeah, like exactly.
The people still want to go experience. They want to cry at a show.
Right.
They want to lose all of their worries for an hour and a half.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I agree. Everybody's real worried about that AI stuff, and I'm just not.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the music scene in 2025. It's nothing sticks. It's all a fad, you know, so.
And that's, like, the thing for me, like, thinking about it, like, how it's going to change. It's, like, the live performance and intimate experiences are going to be even more important.
Yeah. I mean, if I see AI smash a fucking guitar, that's one thing. Yeah. But I don't think we're going to have to worry about that soon.
No. And I think that's a big part of it, too, is, like, the feeling you get when someone really takes your emotion and changes it, right?
Yeah.
And that's what, for me, music and live music has always been. Is like, they can take me on a roller coaster. The best artists can take you from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows and make you feel all of that in one 60 to 90 minute set.
Right. You know? And, you know, people listen to music every day, but they, you know, they spend their hard earned money, and that's their, you know, it's a big deal for people to go to shows, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, even I still go to shows. Mm-hmm. I love going to shows because I don't have to work.
Yeah. And it's like, that's the reason you fell in love with music.
Exactly.
Because you love it. You know, you love seeing it. You love seeing people perform it.
And, you know, like, as COVID was kind of coming to a close and shows started back up, I was there every single weekend. And, you know, I hate COVID for all the bad things that happened to people, but it was great for me. Yeah. You know, I started playing guitar again. I started taking lessons, started annoying people in the DMs on Instagram, and, you know, shows started back up, and I was just there every single week, and I go sell merch or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And but just, you know, show face, and that helped us a ton whenever we got, you know, going.
Who'd you sell merch for?
Man, I've sold merch for Cody West, Pecos in the Rooftops, Palmer Anthony. Most of the Texas guys you can think of, I probably sold some merch.
That's awesome.
It's cool. And it's a good way to, like, meet people.
Yeah.
And just be around people and see how they are and what they do and, you know what I mean?
Right. And, you know, see how people are setting stuff up. And, you know, whenever we got on the road, I at least had an idea of how things were supposed to look.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't quite know how to get it there, but I at least knew how it was supposed to, how it was supposed to go.
Yeah.
And we're getting there now, finally. But,
I love that. And I think that's so important, too. It's like, the earlier you can see that and not just see it, but understand it and try to like work your version of that into existence. I think it's so important. It's so cool. Well, brother, like I said, thank you so much for always just making great music. And, it's so cool to watch it continue to grow and all of the sounds that you make that bring me back to my youth. makes me super freaking stoked and happy to be back here in this music world. So
sweet. Thank you all, boys. All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure, like we said, to follow Sterling and check him out. Come to Tailgating Tall Boys and see him at a festival stage. That's,
come on.
That's what's up. And we'll see you guys there in the front row, honestly. All right. Well, peace out.
Later, y'all.